Chad Baker-Mazzara is back to fill up the scoring potential that you have from this amazing backcourt, and we're fired up about it. Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Pod, and there's your boy, Zep Jasper. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, and we are ready to talk about this basketball roster. We keep going player by player because, hey, they deserve it. That is, they SEC champions. You got to talk about the roster from top to bottom, and one of the fan favorites from last year, a guy that kind of bursts onto the scene, comes out of nowhere, junior college, had a journey – journey to get to Auburn and comes in, works his way into the lineup, becomes honestly one of Auburn's better scorers on the team. Chad Baker-Mazzara is back. How big is it to have a kid like this back in your lineup for another year? I mean, coupled in with all the other scoring weapons you've added, like bringing back Chad, just talk about how big it is to have him back.
It's very big. Last year, he was actually one of the go-to guys.
Yeah.
If you look at that roster last year, he was one of those guys that could get a bucket.
Yeah.
You didn't have many guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara because, like I said, he can fill up the stat sheet, but he fill it up in ways you wouldn't know. He would get a quick three, a crazy left-hand shot, a drive to the basket. You know, like he just does things that nobody else does. Like he was a sleeper coming in, but he showed people what he can do and how he can do it. And he can score in many different bunches. He can drive. He can shoot threes. He can shoot floaters. So it's very good to have him back, you know, in Auburn and, you know, have him playing great basketball.
Yeah, so one thing I've always liked about Chad Baker and guys like him that aren't necessarily physically super gifted, like from an athletic standpoint, but they're basketball players. They know how to use their body. They know how to do the, you know, Euro steps and all this. They know how to manipulate their body to be able to maximize everything they can. And like you said, it seemed like anytime Auburn needed a big shot last year, Chad was not scared to pull the trigger in somebody's face, and he was going to let them know about it. He was going to let them know about it as well, and that's one of the things that I love about him, probably the most about his game. Now, you still there, Zep? There he is.
I don't know what went out.
It's all good. It's all good. So, one topic of conversation though is. So you've brought in Miles Kelly, who's kind of one of those flex combo 2-3 type players. Mm-hmm. You know, when the ball goes in the air against Vermont, when the tip off is at you have the tip off against Vermont, who's starting at three? Like that's going to be a good battle. Who comes out as the starter there at three?
It'll be a close one because it's all about who fits in the lineup. Who matches with who. Chad Baker-Mazzara is one of those guys I see coming straight off the bench and being a sixth man or seventh man with Tahai Pettiford because I feel like he's one of those guys that we need to have that energy coming off the bench to score, to get the crowd hype, to talk trash. I see him coming off the bench. I see Miles Kelly with him being a pure scorer, him coming from the ACC. I feel like he didn't come for nothing to just come to Auburn and come off the bench when he was one of the top scorers in the ACC, which I feel like ACC is right behind the Big 12. So I feel like Chad Baker-Mazzara, he'd be one of those guys that come off the bench and just fill the stat sheet up.
What a luxury. What a luxury to have that guy possibly, you know, coming off the bench. I mean, there's still some good rotations to where – you know, if Denver has to slide over and play point, you know, maybe Miles Kelly slides over to two. You talked about Tahai Pettiford coming in, so that could very well be the case too. And you could have those guys on the court at the same time. It's just rotations are so important. People think you just automatically put your best five out there, and then you just rotate in your next best five. But the problem is, you got to be careful the way you do that because you could end up with a lineup that could be handicapped on one side or the other, whether it be handicapped on offense, handicapped on defense. And I love the idea. I love the possibility of having Chad sliding in off the bench as that sixth man and filling it up. I think that's a underrated, massive thing for this lineup that is big going into the year.
Well, it's super massive because, like, when you think about it, last year's team, you had Katie Johnson come off the bench giving that energy. Now you have guys that can really score the basketball, like Miles Kelly, him, Tahai Pettiford. So it's like, you know, say Denver Jones go to the point guard. Now we got Miles Kelly can go at the two. Then you got Chad Baker-Mazzara can go at the three. You have length. Yes. Like, yes. Denver guard is not he's not a small guard. He got size on him. Miles Kelly, he got size, length. Chad Baker-Mazzara got size and length. So it's like you got so many combinations you can use on the court now. It's like, let's just throw something at a team. Let's see what can happen. And like you say, Chad Baker-Mazzara is one of those guys that he's not afraid of the moment. No matter if he misses, he makes it. He always feel like he's great at what he does on the basketball court. He's not as talented, but he's not afraid. Yeah. He go off of basketball instincts. So he's one of those guys that he make one shot, he feel like he's going to make 10,000 more shots. He feel like he's going to make every single shot that touches hands.
Oh, yeah, that bucket gets big. Once the first couple go in, that bucket gets big, doesn't it?
It gets big because he just have that confidence about himself. I love it about him because I know how BP is as a coach. He love guys like that because he know guys like that don't care what anyone says. He know that Chad Baker-Mazzara is going to shoot whatever, do whatever. And, you know, you need guys like that. I feel like he's the guy on this year's team to be like, okay, I'm going to take this shot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, also very underrated defensive player. I think he makes a lot of plays, a lot of steals. He's very frustrating. I think he's a frustrating defender because, like you said, he's long and wiry, and he may not necessarily be the most athletic guy, but he just gets in your face and makes stuff happen, frustrates you. So, very underrated defender. I know his scoring gets a lot of the hype, but he's a very, very underrated defender. I want to talk about something about Chad that we saw kind of rear its ugly head a little bit last year a few times, and then, you know, how you balance that and use it to your advantage. But before we do, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, if you got a retirement plan, if you've been saving up, you're probably still wondering, do I have enough? Am I doing everything that I should? Is it performing the way it should be performing? Why not get a second look? And you can get it for absolutely free by reaching out to Ford at retirementresults.com/plan. Don't just take your current financial planner or whatever's word for it. Like, double check, make sure, and Ford will do it for you free. Typically, that costs $1,500+ just to get somebody to look at it. Ford will do it for you free. Tell them, War Eagle, tell them I sent you. Ford Stokes, retirementresults.com/plan. Okay, let's just talk about it. I know it was a discussion last year. Chad is a very emotional player. Okay. And sometimes when things are going really well, that is really, really good because not only is he putting it in your eyes, is he just shooting it right in your eyes and then telling you about it in Spanish, whatever language that he's speaking at the time, it's going really good when it's good, but it can go the other way when things are not going so good. And you saw that kind of happen in the first round of the NCAA tournament, unfortunately, against Yale. He got pushed, didn't like it, took a shot back, and unfortunately he was the one that got caught, and honestly really hurt Auburn in that game. I mean, it limited Auburn big time, especially offensively, and then you know the rest of the story. So my question to you, Zep, is you love guys that can dish it. You love guys that can give it to the other team, that can get under their skin. But how do you balance it? How do you balance it to where you can be level-headed enough? I mean, Auburn led the league last year in technical fouls, and Chad was, you know, I mean, he was one of the big reasons for that. At what point in time does it become a problem, and how do you balance it and kind of keep it from sort of taking over you, and then it kind of becomes selfish, I guess?
Well, the way you balance it is many different ways. You know, if I was his teammate, me being a leader, me being the person I am, I probably would tell him, you know, you can talk trash, but know how to talk trash. When we're down, talk trash. When we're up, talk trash. Don't just be a trash talker that just try to get an opponent head, and then once you get caught, you get a tech, and now it's rah, rah, rah. What you do is tell them to look at the scoreboard. You winning, you winning. You losing, you have no reason to talk trash. But I feel like, you know, have fun, you know, but don't make it a trash talking game where the outcome is always winning. Yeah. My thing was when we played, when I played on our team, we know who was going to talk trash and we know who wasn't going to talk trash. Our thing was to go out there and have fun. But the main goal is to win. And when you win, that's when you can talk trash.
Sure.
But, you know, because talking trash during a game won't get you nowhere. We all seen that last year against Yale. I know he was physically hurt and emotionally hurt from not being out there, especially with this being his first time in an Auburn jersey being in March Madness. I know he learned from his mistakes. So this year, I feel like he'll be one of those trash talkers that won't talk as much smack as he did last year. I think he'll be a better trash talker than he was last year. I think.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have – if that's part of your game, like you got to have – you can't just not do it. You know what I mean? You can't just not be that guy. If that's who you are, that's how you get revved up, that's how you get after it, you can't just cut that off because – again, that may take a little bit of your edge, take a little bit of your edge away. But I'm with you. I think the biggest thing is you have to take the me out of it. And you know, if it's I'm trying to get under this guy's skin because I can score on him for the team, or get under his skin so that my team can take advantage of it. I just think you got to be a lot more controlled. And I think Bruce, it was really cool to see him sort of take up for Chad. And I think I'm hoping. That meant a lot to Chad for him to stand behind him like that and maybe be able to figure out ways to be able to control that emotion, especially early in the game. Like, there ain't no sense in, you know, technical fouls 3 or 4 minutes into the game. Like, we got it, especially when we need you. You know, we need you out there. So I'm with you. I think that, you know, there was a lot of stuff, like, you know, he got his dad came to that game, the one of the first times he got to see him play in college, flew forever, and then he gets booted within the first few minutes. I mean, that's just brutal, and I'm hoping that we learned a lot from it because he's so good, he's so valuable, and he can fill it up, and that's what I'm hoping. We learned from last year, and because man, just think about this. Think about this 2 deep, basically, or I guess it would be like a 5 deep because you don't have 2 point guards. But think about this: you got JP Pegues, who's a bucket last year at point guard, coming in. He's still getting adjusted, but once he figures it out, he's going to be a really good player. You got Denver Jones, who's a dead eye 3-point shooter. Then you got Miles Kelly, who was one of the leading scorers in the ACC. And then when you sub him in, you sub in a McDonald's All-American 2-guard, and you sub in Chad Baker-Mazzara, who could score 20 or 30 points on you in a heartbeat coming off the bench. I mean, this backcourt is something special.
It's very special, but like I say, you don't know what's coming at you. You don't know what type of wave you're going to get. You might have a guy – like Miles Kelly, who scored 20 this night. Then you got Chad Baker-Mazzara, who get hot at any time. He might come and score 20. Then you got Tahai Pettiford, who can score in bunches. You, as a freshman, I feel like he's going to be one of the best scorers in the nation. Then you got JP, he's still learning the point guard position, but I feel like he's going to be okay because it only takes a few games to get adjusted. Yeah. And I feel like once he get adjusted, his confidence is going to go to another level. And his confidence is going to go to another level where he get the confidence to score, to pass, facilitate, and do everything his team needs for them to win.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the season outlook for Chad and some stuff that he could do to sort of take his game to the next level. First of all, free throw shooter, he's unreal. Unbelievable free throw shooter. I could say, hey, let's try to figure out ways to get to the line more. You know, that will be something I would love to see him maybe penetrate more, get to the line, because, man, late in the game, he can be a closer because, like I just said, he is a free throw machine when he gets to the line. What are some things you could see in his game to help, I guess, elevate him even to the next level? I know he likes to use his left hand a lot. Is it, you know, being able to go with his right some? Like, what do you see?
You know, if I was an NBA scout or, you know, was watching him, I probably would say two things he need to work on. And those two things would probably be getting more stronger and also using his right hand. I feel like he's one of those guys that go left most of the time. And once they cut that left off, he tries to get back to his left. He never goes right. So I feel like that's one of the things he can work on, going on that right hand, two dribble pull up on the right hand side and using that left hand, you know, with that shot. Like I said, and also getting stronger. I feel like if he gets stronger, I feel like his game may even go to a whole another level, because the way he plays off of heart, emotion, and trash talk. So I feel like he's one of those guys that his whole game will change. It will be a whole new person. It probably won't be no trash talk, because it would change his whole demeanor. Getting stronger, he would be one of the best scorers in the nation.
Yeah, I'm with you. Zell, what would you do if the guy guarding you just started just dogging you in Spanish? What would you? How would you even take that? Have you ever had somebody speak it to you, just get after you in another language like that?
I never have, and I played overseas basketball, so
yeah,
I probably wouldn't know what to do. I probably would just ignore it, because I probably wouldn't know what he's saying. Probably would ask one of my teammates, "Do you know Spanish?" and try to figure out what he's saying, because I wouldn't guess that a person would be talking trash in Spanish.
Yeah,
so I ask, be like, "Hey, do you know Spanish? See what he's saying," because I would think he's saying something nice, but if a guy's talking trash, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, you run into the sideline, you're like, let me get Google Translate out. Wait a damn minute.
Wait a minute. I would do that, and I'd be like, this dude got to be saying something nice to me.
He just said, what about my mama? No, I love it. I can't imagine coming down the court and you just have somebody just going off on you in a language you ain't got no clue what he's saying.
Nope.
I loved what KD said when he said, man, he trash talking Spanish, and that's hard. You know, I loved when KD said that last year. They kind of fed off each other, and now you just got one. You just got Chad, but he's gonna be electric, I think, this year. And I'm with you. I think coming off the bench, and even if he starts, I whether he's coming off the bench where Miles is starting at two, or rotating to three, whatever it is, no matter what happens, when you put somebody out on the court one through three, they're going to be scoring. And I like this little rotation we got brewing. So I think that's going to be it for tonight. I really appreciate you guys for joining us. Zep, tell them how they can find you.
Instagram is RIP_QUAN12. Twitter is RIP_QUAN5.
There you go. You can find me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5 every single day on the Top Button Podcast. Or 2 days a week here on the Barn Hoops Pod. We're going to be back again soon, continuing to break down this roster and having a lot of fun. So, Zep, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. We will catch you next time. This is episode 7 now of the Barn Hoops Pod.